Serve an awesome God this morning. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap this morning. Praise God. Praise God. It is so great to have Sister Cecily visiting with us and joining in on our praise and worship team. I believe today she is heading back home this afternoon to Montana, so pray that God would grant her a safe trip with her two little ones to join up with her hubby Carl. So it's an awesome. Carl was able to get a job out there as an electrician, and they were staying in a campground, and they were looking for a winter place to hold over for the winter. that was open all winter long out there in Montana, and they had called them on a small campground, and the gentleman said, well, can you call me back, because the fellow that was running our campground for us recently passed away, and we're looking for a new caretaker to help run the campground for the season. And Carl was like, well, I might would be interested in that. So they now have a free place to camp in their camper in exchange for some caretaking duties. And then Carl was able to get a job that paid substantially more than what he thought he would be able to get. So God is really doing some awesome things. Speaking of awesome, this morning we have an awesome missionary from the country of Japan. Brother Hosmer, it is so great to have you here visiting with us. And he's going to be covering both of our services this morning, but he's going to come and he's going to do our Sunday morning Bible lesson for us this morning. God bless you, brother.
Let's give that hand clap unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is your friend. Amen. He's your Savior. Amen. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. 本当に僕し心からありがとうございます。From the bottom of my heart, Pastor, thank you so much for the invite. Amen. You all may be seated. I want to get into the Word of God. We have a short time to talk about a lot of things. I'm going to ask first, amen, is there anybody here who needs the Holy Ghost? Has not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Amen. I always check just to see what kind of crowd I'm dealing with. Amen. Everybody here's got the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm wondering, how hungry are you for the things of God this morning? Amen. How thirsty for the things of God are you this morning? I don't know about you, but I'm never satisfied with just a little sprinkling of the Holy Ghost. But I love the outpouring, torrential rain of the Holy Ghost, where we're literally just swimming in the presence of God. Amen. I love being in the presence of God. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Jesus, your word is already anointed. There's nothing I can say or do to make your word any more anointed. But I pray, God, that your anointing would flow through this vessel and touch the minds and the heart of your people. I pray, God, that you would dispatch your ministering angels into this house and camp them all about in this place. Let the gifts of your Spirit be in full operation. We thank you, Savior, and we give you, Jesus, all the glory and honor and praise. Shuyas Kadistami Naniote, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. I know I have a short time, and I have a lot I want to say. Amen. And so, well, I believe the Lord has a lot to share. Amen. God's so good. Amen. I'm trying to fill after the Holy Ghost just a little bit, just to make sure I'm not going to change directions. And sometimes you don't know until you get up to the pulpit. And that's kind of scary sometimes. All of a sudden, wait a minute, I thought we were doing this. And things change, but I believe that I have confirmation in the Lord, and so God is so good. I want to talk to you about having a healthy apostolic church. Well, it got real quiet. I love you all. You're my brothers and sisters, and I'll talk more about myself in the next session about me going to Japan in 1990 by way of the Air Force, and I'll talk about all that. But I want to just teach this morning. Can we turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2? Now, where did your mind just go when I said that? Right? Amen. It starts out, repent. Amen. Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, repent. We can't do anything without repentance first. Amen. And there's a lot of churches that's all they do is teach repentance, and they have an altar call, and that's the only kind of relationship they have with God, but they have not yet experienced the born again relationship. They've only had repentance kind of level. And it's good. They come to church and they repent of their sins, and God touches them and forgives them, and that's wonderful. But that's just a beginning. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel like I'm starting an engine trying to get it primed going this morning. It's all right. I'll go as slow as you want me to go. God's so good. I used to be a policeman in the Air Force. I served 10 years. And I used to be a patrolman in the Air Force. And I remember pulling somebody over for, I don't know what it was, speeding or a stop sign or something like this. And she was a professional boo-hooer. You know that kind of, I'm so sorry. Real crocodile tears coming down her face. Just, she didn't want to get a ticket. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And I said, well, I forgive you, but here's your ticket. And that's what it is like here when we come to church, because we go to God and we boo-hoo and we cry and we have all those boogers hanging out and we get a hold of God and we really repent and God forgives us of our sins because he's faithful. Amen. And we get that repented experience, but there's still a penalty to pay for our sin, for the wages of our sin is death. And that's why we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And we have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what Peter preached on the first day of church. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this promise is unto you, to your children, as many far off as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And with many other words that exhort and testify, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received the word of God, they were baptized. Amen. About 3,000 souls. We don't really know the total number, but about 300 souls. Maybe 320. Maybe it was 321. Who knows? God knows. What an amazing first day at church, by the way. Would we be able to handle a 3,000 soul revival today? We don't have anybody here who needs the Holy Ghost yet, so I don't know if that would take place. Praise the Lord. It gets real quiet when I say that. I'm doing my best to provoke you and challenge you to do even greater works, because this is an amazing church. You have an amazing pastor. You have an amazing leadership here. Amen. But I do sometimes feel like God has used me to provoke people to continue on and to do even greater works. Don't be satisfied. Amen. So I want to talk to you about having a healthy apostolic church, because many times we'll go through Acts 2, 38, 39, and we get to 41, and it's like, okay, let's go to chapter 3. And we kind of bypass chapter or verse 42 through 47. And so I believe this is what I would like to look at. And verse 42 in particular, it says, and they, can we all say that word together, they? And they continued steadfastly in four things, in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in fellowship, and in prayers. Amen? And I believe these are four key ingredients for any apostolic church to have in order to have revival. Anybody here know how to bake bread from scratch? There's a few gray hairs in here, so I imagine. I left my glasses over there on purpose so I don't have to look at you in the face. It makes me nervous. Just being honest. Amen. What happens if you forget yeast? It don't look like that in the cookbook, you know. Or water, or flour, or some primary ingredient. So I believe these four things are essential for any healthy apostolic church. Now, we're going to add stuff to it, and each church is going to be unique. Maybe this church is amazing in men's ministry, or maybe this church is amazing in Sunday school, or maybe you got a lot of different things added to it that adds to it that makes awesome, like apostolic bread. But, you know, I believe that we need to have these four key ingredients. In fact, every year, the churches that I oversee in Japan, we bring in our leaders and we review what are we doing. We put everything literally on the parking lot, if you will, and we're not afraid to remove something if it's not fulfilling this area, because I believe that when you have these four key ingredients, it's not going to be just Sunday that people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized. It's going to become a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In fact, Sunday is going to change and become a kind of a day that we're just celebrating. Look what God did all week long. Amen. That it's not just a Sunday relationship. Praise the Lord. Amen. I get a little carried away with it because I believe it so much that we need, amen, to have this apostolic doctrine. We've got to have the fellowship. We've got to have the breaking of bread. And we need the prayers. So let's just read that scripture one more time. And they continued steadfastly in these four things. Amen. In apostolic doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's break this down just a little bit. What is the hardest part about baking bread? Anybody have an idea what's the hardest part? Kneading it. That's exactly the thing I think too. And that's the steadfastly part. That's the part where you're punching it and you're flipping it over and stretching out and punching it more and you're working at it. And that's the hard part about apostolic doctrine or these four key ingredients is you're just flipping around and you're looking and reexamining. And I probably, without fail, every time that I reexamine our churches and what we're doing there in Japan, there's something missing. One has probably gotten elevated really high, and then some are maybe in the middle, and then one's gotten really low. That it's just a tendency for us to do that kind of thing. And so we reevaluate, we maybe pull people in, we just kind of change our course direction. Amen. And so let's talk about apostolic doctrine just a little bit. What's that all about? Doctrine is just a fancy word for teaching. And I know that you guys are doing Purpose Institute, and we do Purpose Institute in Japan. In fact, that's the only arm for the pathway to ministry in the nation of Japan at the moment. Amen. I believe in the teaching there. But I believe that anata wa shindo o kotoba wo tarashiku oshii hajiru tokoro nai. Dentatsu hataraki bito ni natte kami ni jibun wo sasageru satomi ni hageme nasai. Amen. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe that we need to stay hungry for the word of God. We got to stay just wanting to continue to consume the word of God. And many times we're not as hungry as we used to be for the word of God. Oh, I'm trying to help you here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Like as of newborn babes, we need to desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you might grow thereby. We need to have the word of God hidden into our hearts that we might not sin against him. It's to be desired more than rubies and more than diamonds and more than gold. It's got to be desired more than the honey and the honeycomb. It's got to be desired. Oh, praise the Lord. Anybody know what sincere milk is? It's that milk that after a baby is born, mom's breasts begin to lactate and produce milk. And in that milk is essential minerals and vitamins and things that mom has fought off, colds and flus and sicknesses and diseases, that gives this baby a helping chance to overcome some things. It's essential. That's how much as babes in Christ that we need to be hungry for the word of God. We've got to consume it. We've got to desire to have the word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. But sometimes we can get sidetracked and we're not as hungry for the word of God as we used to be. See, I did not grow up in this apostolic jazz. I grew up in Michigan in a Catholic church until I was, I don't know, 8 or 9, and that was it. I didn't know any doctrine. I didn't know anything until I went to Japan. I'll talk more about that in the next session. But when I heard the doctrine, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, when I was baptized in Jesus' name, everything changed. I couldn't stop reading the Word of God. I was so hungry. I was spending all my midnight graveyard shifts as a patrolman, just pulled over somewhere, reading my Bible after scripture, going through the Word of God, consuming it, trying to get more than just the bread, trying to get more than just the milk, trying to get into the meat of the Word of God, staying hungry for the Word of God. And I'm challenging you, the best way I know how is to stay hungry for the Word. Don't get to a place where you're content, satisfied, just maybe Sunday morning morsels only, but you've got to have the Word of God each and every day. Amen. It would be kind of weird. Where was that infant at? I saw her earlier, but wouldn't it be weird? It's okay if you're a baby to be a baby. That's normal. But if you're not a baby, it would be weird. It would be kind of weird, a baby running around the aisles, right? But it's also just as strange for a five-year-old or a four-year-old not being able to walk or talk or do what is normal. And that's what I believe is, as we are hungry for the Word of God, that as we consume the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And as we're consuming the Word of God, we're growing. We're not staying at a certain level. I'm doing my best to challenge you to keep growing in your relationship with God. Keep consuming the Word of God. How often do you think Japanese eat rice? Every day. Amen. I love rice. Amen. I like it sticky. I like it mixed in my soup. I like everything. Amen. Amen. Some of you are like, rice? Really? Yeah, I love rice. It's like Acts 2:38, hearing the Word of God over and over again. Who cares if it's food for your soul? Don't get to a place where you're just satisfied with just a little bit of Word of God. I don't know why, I just want to stay on this topic a little bit longer. Amen. I would go on, but I'm going to stay here for just a little bit longer. I'm doing my best to challenge you. Amen. To keep going. Amen. Keep going. Don't stay at that comfort level. All right. When I first got into church, we had four services on Sunday, and I was in every one of them. At first, I thought, well, as a shift worker, those other services were optional. It was just, you know, you pick and choose what you want. Morning service, evening service, afternoon service, you know, it's for shift workers. I didn't know that it was for everybody. And in those days, we had two Japanese services and two English-speaking services. And Sunday school. And I still had time to go and pick people up to come to church. Amen. Racing through McDonald's with the kids to get food to come back. I know it was rough, but we did whatever we could do to reach to the masses there. And I remember the day and time that I said to myself, well, I'm not satisfied with just a Sunday-only relationship. This is not enough. I knew that I needed to stay hungry for the Word of God, and I wanted to grow in my relationship with God. And so I made a determination. I'm going to go to church whenever the church doors are open. And so I went Wednesday and Friday, all-night prayer meetings. All-night prayer meetings. Oh, boy, he's got real quiet when I say stuff like that. And I remember going to church on Wednesday, and I was part of the amen section. Where's that at? Where's the amen section? Oh, okay, over here. Okay, amen. Amen! I was like that. Amen! Hallelujah! Ow! How did the pastor know? Ow! Because the Word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Ow! And I had a lot of stuff that had to be cut out. You know why? Why I was smiling? In! Because I was a hearer of the Word, and I wasn't doing it. I was in! Oh, me. How did Pastor know? But I needed it. The Word of God is for our reproof, for instruction in righteousness. It's needed for us. It changes. It cuts things out. Amen. It cuts going in. It cuts going out. And amen. I'm so thankful for the Word of God because it changes us. Amen. And so I kept going to church whenever church doors were open, and it helped me to grow. It helped me to change. It helped me to be more like Him. I'm not there yet, by the way. I'm still working on it. Amen. I'm trying to perfect holiness. Amen. God is so good. So I'm challenging you to stay hungry for the doctrine. Okay, let's move on. These next two, the one that's fellowship and breaking bread, let's talk about breaking of bread first, that communion. When I look at this, I believe it's talking about having a relationship with God. Yes, I understand breaking of bread is communion, but the whole purpose of that is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe this communion is just as important this way as it is this way. That we need to have this, we can't have this. And if we don't have this, then we can't have this. It's very important to have communion, to have fellowship. Not this word fellowship in here, but this word communion means, I believe, to have fellowship. And it's essential to have fellowship. It's biblical to have fellowship. It's apostolic to have fellowship. I got to go to his house yesterday. Oh, my. I was like, man, I just want to bring my tent in his backyard and enjoy fellowship. I was so surprised. Like, that's exactly how I wish my yard looked like. And I can imagine the amount of fellowship that is taking place and has taken place. And I absolutely love barbecue. Any guys here like barbecue? Look at her. Yeah. Amen. Ever notice when we have a barbecue? Where are the guys at? Right on the barbecue grill. Talking. Another wave offering. Burnt sacrifice. Sweet, sweet smelling sacrifice. And the world has taught us to build walls. I've noticed that more and more. And we think it's with walls, with outside people. But sometimes, I'll be honest with you, that sometimes these walls are within the church just as much as they are. And this communion, this breaking of bread with each other, sometimes it's hindered. Isn't that what COVID is always trying to do right now, is to stop us from gathering together and having fellowship? I would dare say, think that that is something that needs to be addressed, that we need to overcome or find other ways to have fellowship. We need it. It's very apostolic. I don't know how it's going to work for you all. I don't know the city. I don't know what you do. But I believe that you need to figure that out. Amen. It's essential. Can I pick on you, brother? You're in the front row. Is that all right? He's staring at me pretty sincere. Amen. See, we get these walls built around us and we have a hard time trusting each other. I don't know you. I'd like to know you. You look like someone I'd like to get to know. I'd like to learn from you probably. There's some things that I can learn from you. There's some things that we can share and encourage one another. See, the world will try to step on each other's heads to climb up, but that's not how it should be in the body of Christ. I am my brother's keeper. We should be fellow laborers, laboring together, amen, to see God's kingdom come to pass, amen. I believe that is extremely important, but I don't know you. And I'm going to be afraid to really share issues. I'm not going to confess my faults for sure. Faults is not sins, by the way. That's weak areas in your life. Japan is on a fault line. And every time there's a shaking, it's because there's a weak area in the ground. And we all have weaknesses. None of us are perfect in the kingdom of God. But I've got my weaknesses. He's got his weaknesses. Amen. We should be able to confess our weaknesses or our faults to one another and say, hey, I'm kind of weak in this area. Would you pray for me? I need strength. I'm weak this week. And I believe that at first when we have fellowship, where we get together for barbecue a lot, or fishing, or whatever it is that we end up doing, eventually, I'm going to get to the place where I'll be like, hey, brother, you know, this week I've been struggling with anger, and this week I've had some lust issues in my mind. I don't know where that's coming from, and would you pray for me? Would you please lift me up in your prayers, because I need you, and you need me, and we build this unity between the brethren that we need one another. We desperately need this communion, not tearing one another down, talking about one another, destroying one another, but lifting one another up in prayer. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need your encouragement. And that's what happens when we have fellowship Amen. Not gossip sessions. Not complaining sessions. Not other holiness issues with our tongue. But where we can get together and have fellowship. Amen. Is so important. I challenge you. Find ways to have fellowship. Amen. I got 10 minutes. So let's talk about that word fellowship. That word fellowship is originally pronounced koinonia. It doesn't mean to have fellowship. It's, in fact, it means to be part of the fellowship. It's when you get to a place where you say, this is my pastor. This is my church. This is what I'm going to support. I'm going to be here not only financially, but I'm going to be here in person for services. I'm going to be here in support. Maybe I'll be the vacuum cleaner. Maybe I'll be the grass cutter. I've seen the activities going on the last couple of days here. I know you just had a wedding, but I saw all the hard work going on. I don't know how many times I saw people going to the dumpster. It started making me feel guilty, like I got to get out there and do something. You guys are involved, and I don't even think I have to talk about this too much. But I want to share with you how important it is for you to be involved in the kingdom of God, to be part of the fellowship, not just to have fellowship, but to be part of the fellowship, that you're actively involved in the kingdom of God. Every one of us is important in the kingdom of God. We're like a big puzzle, fitly joined together. There's no big I's or little U's in the kingdom of God, but we are all important in the kingdom of God. Sir, you're important in the kingdom of God. Ma'am, you're important in the kingdom of God. God wants to use your hands. He wants to use your mouth. He wants to use your feet. He wants to use everything about you. Your giftings, your talents, he wants to use you. Praise the Lord. Anybody ever been to an orchestra? Wow, there's pretty people. Sometimes I ask that and they're like, no. Isn't it amazing? All the winds and percussions and strings and amen. All those instruments, just awesome to hear all that. It's just sometimes it can be so loud it'll scare you, and sometimes it'll just be like a diminuendo and just so quiet. You can almost hear a pin hit the ground, and it's amazing. And if you ask a conductor, out of all those instruments, which one is the number one? Ichiban, number one important instrument. What do you think would be the most important one? Huh? They're all important. But he might say, out of all those instruments, there's one. I believe it's second fiddle. Not first chair, not third chair, somewhere in the middle. I'm not even sure if I know what a fiddle looks like. It's not the keyboard or the drums or, you know, some popular instrument. A fiddle. Second fiddle. Why? Something happens when that instrument begins to play that it creates a certain overtone that creates perfect harmony. And it might just be you, sir or ma'am, that is involved. When you start to get involved, it creates a certain unity within the body of Christ that just makes the body of Christ like, wow, we're in this together. We have unity. We have harmony. We're going to all be involved. We're going to do something together. So-and-so is getting involved. I'm going to get involved. And there's this unity that just is beautiful in the ears of the Lord. Amen. That's why you should be involved. Sometimes we feel like we're just a big shoe or a big toe that fits into the church pew, if you will. Just, I have no other job, no other responsibility but to come to church, and I got to keep that pew warm. You know, that's an important job. I have to keep that one pew, that one spot. That's my spot, by the way. I wonder how many of us are sitting in the same spot that we sat in last week. Wouldn't it be uncomfortable if we all just switch sides? Like, I don't want to do that. It's uncomfortable. This is my spot. I like this corner. Amen. But you're much more than just a big toe. You know, a big toe works with the middle ear. that if you don't have those two working together, you don't have balance. And you're kind of staggering around and you can't even do. The rest of the body has to work extra hard to accomplish its purpose because the one big toe or the middle ear isn't working. Lack of communication or just doesn't want to work. That's why you are so important in the kingdom of God. You need to be involved in the kingdom of God. I'm going to challenge you best way I know how. I don't know what type of jobs, ask pastor, what's available, what can you do? But surely there's something you can do. Amen. Like, I'm going to just pick someone random. Sis right here, front row. What a beautiful smile she has. And maybe that's the one gifting, or maybe she has lots of giftings. I don't know. But as people come to church, if she smiles, every person says, oh, I feel welcome here. I want to be part of this church. That could be just a little bit of a gifting, and she's involved by just smiling. You'd be surprised how powerful a smile is when people see the joy of the Lord on your face. They're like, I enjoy this place. It's not the sad, sad people. It's the happy, happy people. We got the joy of the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know what I just did. I touched something on my iPad and lost all my notes. It's all right. We'll go on. That's a hint to go on. The last one is prayer. I wish I had an hour on this one. I know there's all kinds of prayers. Thanksgiving prayers. Petitional prayers. Even when we're singing songs, I believe it's a way of communicating with God. And in a way, we're connecting with God. We're talking to Him. And He speaks to us in many different ways. We know this. Sometimes it's through an audible voice. Sometimes it's through impressions in our minds and our heart. But God will speak to us. My sheep will know my voice. I know that God will speak to His people. Amen. And I want to hear His voice. And if I can get to a place where I can hear God's voice, that is essential. It's extremely important to have prayers. In fact, I believe the most important thing we can do to help people is to teach them to pray. Not how to pray. To do the praying. If you want to have disciples, we need to teach them all about prayer. It's very basic. We want to teach our kids on how to talk. We want to hear their voices talk to us. Mama, papa, we want to hear, I'm hungry. We want them to talk. How much more does God want us to learn to talk to Him? We need to talk to Him. We got to have that communication with Him. And it's extremely important to have that conversation and prayers. And I know there's all kinds of prayers. And I know part of the armor of God is to put on the prayer. Amen. But why are we not doing it? You would think that COVID would challenge us in such a way that would provoke us into areas of prayer. And yet, I don't know what happened. It seems like we've drawn away from prayer. Not as much as we even used to. Now, I'm old school. I'm used to, like I said before, going to all-night prayer meetings where we would start at midnight and I would drag my kids and they would sleep on the pews. And yeah, it was only supposed to be hour shifts, but I couldn't stand it. I could feel the power and the presence of God in those all-night prayer meetings. It was so important to connect with the source of life. And sometimes you wouldn't feel a thing. And then sometimes you couldn't even move because the presence of God would be so strong. Amen. The prayer is so important. Word of God says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we know when we're right with God and when we're not right with God. And amen. And I believe if we're right with God and we have some fervency in our prayers, that can change everything. It's very, very effective if we have fervency and we're right with God. And if you're not right with God, and go to an altar and get right with God and stay right with God. I don't know about you, but I live a repentant life all the time. I repent all the time, all day long. I don't know about you all, but I got this carcass that makes me have to repent all the time. I wake up repenting. I do. I don't know. Maybe I kicked my wife in the middle of the night. I don't know. I don't know. But God, if I did something, I want to make sure I'm rapture ready. And more than that, I want to be sensitive to God's voice, because I know that if I have sin, I'm cut off from God. And I don't want to be separated from God. I want to be sensitive to the voice of God. Oh, I'm hoping I'm helping you this morning. I got just a couple of minutes. Can I be open as I can possibly be? Something I see missing in North America, and it's really bothering me, is I see a lack of brokenness in prayer. I see a lack of pre-service prayer. I see a lack of travailing. We can't expect to go back to pre-COVID times. It ain't going to happen. We're in the last hours. We must be about our Father's business. We should be a house of prayer, stirring up the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I'm saying these things to provoke you, to challenge you. I believe, I'll share this last little bit, and amen. I believe women, you understand, I'm speaking to Holy Ghost-filled people. You understand spiritual things. And you understand, if you understand something in the natural, you can get a spiritual understanding. Types and shadows, all these types of things, right? I believe women are unique. God created you with the DNA that you know how to travail. It's natural for you to travail. You know what it's like to give birth, and you know what it's like when those birthing pains come, and you know how to moan and to groan and to push and push. I believe this. Now, it's not just for ladies, but it's in your natural DNA. And I believe that if we would gather together before church services, and we would begin to moan and groan and travail and get a hold of God in travailing prayer, you know what happens? It's easy to pray people through the Holy Ghost. It changes the spiritual atmosphere in the house of God. It turns into like a hospital. It's easy for the preacher to preach. It's easy for the spiritual things to take place. Oh, try it. Just try it. If you're not part of the team that's praying someone through the Holy Ghost, get on your knees and start stirring up the gift of God that's inside of you. Start weeping and moaning, groaning when Zion, amen, began to travail. Think about it. It's very powerful. And I want to talk to the men, because I know you just had a men's meeting. And I know I heard just from a little birdie. I wasn't pastor, I don't think, but I heard the church was starting to get into some more prayer, something. Let me say this. Do you see in the scriptures where women went to battle? Not really. I mean, there was one that nailed someone's head to the ground with a tent stake and cut his head off, but I mean, leave her alone. Let her do her thing, you know. By and large, it's okay. You know, I'm not saying women can't fight in prayer. I'm not saying that. But we wrestle against principalities, spiritual wickednesses in high place. Not our flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness. See, there's something in us men that we know how to fight. Mighty men of God, valiant men of God, men of war. Amen. If we can ever get to a place, men, where we stop caring about what other men think of us, and we get to a place where we're broken, and we can moan, and we can groan, and travail, and fight. You know what happens? Kingdoms are shaken. Strongholds are eradicated. Backsliders start coming back to church because men are praying. My time's up. I'm challenging you men, all I can tell you is you need to pray. Why are the women doing all the praying? Oh, praise the Lord. I just lost every PIM I could ever muster up in this place. Amen. Come on, guys. We got to be about our Father's business. It's time to fight. It's time to go to war. We're in the last days. I promise you, if you will do this, you're going to see those backsliders come back. Those that are gotten struggling through COVID, you're going to see them come back. You're going to see them break through. It's time to pray. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I went over time. God bless you, and amen. We'll see you next service. Amen. I'm sorry, Pastor.
Thank you so very much. This is a great challenge. Let's all stand this morning. I believe that God is calling his church. Just lift our hands. Lord, we pray this morning, God. Lord, we are running out of time. The events of this world, the events that surround us every day in life, are on a course that cannot be stopped, cannot be altered. Your coming is so soon, Lord. And I pray, God, that the church, that we would wake up, Lord. I know we have our kids in Sunday school, and I just feel like we need to just spend some time just in prayer here. We'll make it. We'll survive. Don't worry. But this is, God is seeking to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. We can't just rush through this and say, well, we've got a schedule this morning. Fellowship, doctrine, breaking of bread, in prayer. Let's spend a few moments in prayer.